Hey there, everybody. Ken here. A quick disclaimer before this week's episode. You are about to hear a super fun chat featuring Cleveland's own master thespian, Ray Caspio. We actually did this interview in person, and I tried out a new microphone to increase our sound quality. Well, it didn't turn out exactly as I thought it was going to. Although Ray sounds great, I, your host, sound far away. But I'm hoping you can see past the sound issues on this week's episode and just enjoy this uber entertaining chat. I had a blast, and I think that you will too. Have fun! Hey there, everybody. You are listening to This Show Is So Gay. I'm your host, Ken Schneck. This is episode number 311. As always, you can get in touch with us by dropping us a line, send an email on over to ken@thisshowissogay.com. Stroll on over to thisshowissogay.com to learn all about the fun things happening with our little gay radio show that could. You can follow us on Twitter. The handle is, of course, This Show Is So Gay. And go to the Facebook. Type in This Show Is So Gay. Like us, because we sure as heck like you. I'm up in the attic of Fir Avenue. I am not alone. Are you nervous?
No.
You're not at all nervous.
I'm not nervous.
I am joined here by Ray Caspio. Ray is a performer, an illustrator, a writer, a monologuist, an educator. Mm-hmm. You just go to strange people's attics.
I do. Anybody who invites me into their attic,
wow.
I am more than happy to enter.
Like performance art right there. Well, I have to tell you, so I told you very briefly as we were walking up the stairs, we've had maybe 500 some on guests of the show over 7 years. Mm-hmm. You are maybe the third to do an in-person interview.
Well, I'm thrilled to be here.
I'm thrilled. I don't get to wear pajamas. So you need to validate, like, I'm wearing actual clothes that I could go out in public.
This you are wearing so actual clothes.
Weird.
You're wearing a t-shirt and jeans.
This is so subversive. And if anyone asks, and a hat, if anyone asks, you are in the most professional studio you've ever been in.
Of course.
Yes.
Of course. The walls are beautiful. They are soundproof. They're well insulated. They're very well insulated.
I will cut off this interview right this way. And well lit. I must say it's
well
a very
lit.
Well lit
yes,
room.
I feel, we found our light. And we're
I'm
getting ready to go.
Have you told people that you're like, maybe call me in a half an hour if you don't hear from me? I'm worried for your safety. I'm actually not.
You know, I didn't follow protocol. I didn't tell anybody where I was going. I just kind of got this message on Facebook like, hey, come over to my attic. I'm like, all right. I don't ask questions. You said there's a microphone, so I'm there.
This is in no way safe for you, but it's going to be fine. Emotionally, it will be safe.
I hope so.
Okay, okay. So I'm going to... See, normally I do all my research, and I have all my Ray research, but you're, like, actually here.
Right.
So you'll see if I start doing other things, so I have to, like, actually
No, you have
engage.
To be paying attention to
I
me.
Know. So a native Clevelander from
yes.
Parma, which
oh,
is...
Oh, yeah.
I barely know where I am right now.
Oh, Parma is this little... place a little south of Cleveland that I try not to go to too often.
Okay.
My mom still lives in the area. She lives in Brook Park. But yeah, I was just there a couple weeks ago for a funeral.
Oh.
Let's start this off on a real
okay,
positive
well,
note.
Ray Caspio, everybody. Really excited to have you here and talk about all
Let's
the deaths
talk about
that
death.
You've experienced. Yes.
Yeah.
Now, was theater always your background?
No. Let's see. I spent my 20s working as a legal
like
secretary.
A day ago.
It was a day ago.
Okay.
Actually, it was yesterday.
Nice.
Yeah, yesterday. I spent my 20s working as a legal secretary.
Wow.
While I was going to school for an illustration degree.
Okay.
And then I got the illustration degree, and it only took 9 years. And I started freelancing as an illustrator after that.
Nice.
And then really got into performing... Oh, gosh. I don't know. Years ago.
Okay.
And then was working professionally a year later.
I love
And
that.
Have been going strong ever since, yeah.
Well, here are the things. Can we talk about... I feel like you're one of those people, you will never shy away from talking about pop culture.
No.
No.
Never. I love
okay.
pop culture.
Let's talk about
not,
some...
I'm not very versed on... Modern pop culture.
That's okay, because this is about pop culture that I already know that you like.
Great.
Okay.
Great. Thank
because
you.
I'm going to admit some things that I've never admitted on this show before. Okay.
All right.
And because some of these, I know some of these characters have influenced you, and some of them I have never seen a full episode.
Okay.
You ready?
All right.
All right. So let's get your take on some of these. Let's start easy.
Yeah.
The influence on your life of Bewitched.
Oh, my God. First TV show I ever remember watching. It was at my grandma's house in her front room. I guess I was driving my mom and my grandma nuts when I was like 2 or 3 years old. And they set up a little black and white TV in the front room. And I remember the opening credits. They came on and they're animated. Yeah. I'm like, wow, this is really interesting. And then the magic and, I just became quickly obsessed with that show.
Okay.
And the magic and the comedy and, because there are some really funny episodes. Yeah, I just quickly became obsessed with it and then like never stopped watching it. It's always been a constant in my life now.
Wow.
And it's something if I'm feeling down or anything like that, I know I can pop in an episode.
When was the last time you saw an episode of Bewitched?
I watched an episode 3 weeks ago.
Come on! Yeah. Now, when they switched fathers, how did that affect you?
Oh, I was fine with that.
Okay.
Yeah, no. My mom has been married multiple times, so fathers have been switched on me a lot. I was fine with it. I actually liked Dick Sargent's Darren better. Because he was less, he wasn't telling Samantha to stop as often.
Yeah.
He was letting her be herself and then kind of just dealing with it himself. And he was very into physical comedy, which I love. And, so I was kind of okay with
that. Your mom's going to love that shout out that you just provided.
Oh, she's a really good one. She'll laugh. Yeah.
She'll love it. She'll love it. I'm starting with the ones that I know and that I've seen.
Yeah.
Also, influence on you. You like that Wonder Woman.
I love Wonder Woman. Again. Young. All these shows started when I was young. And we talk a little about it in Tingle Tangle, but, oh, God. Linda Carter's impact as Wonder Woman, her impact on me is probably one of the most significant things.
Okay.
In my development. The first time I saw her spin around and change, I didn't know what was drawing me to it.
Right.
And now I realize, oh, it's like this secret self that you can just change yourself if you want and be truly who you are. And I actually just watched an episode yesterday. I don't know, it puts me in a certain headspace of wanting to have fun. And it's hard to describe. I'm not being a very good guest.
How do you feel? You're being a great guest. You're up in a strange person's attic. How do you feel about a new Wonder Woman being released?
I have my concerns.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like they're going with this peaceful, person of peace and who is actively trying to help people grow.
I think it's going to be kind of bloody.
It's going to be kind of bloody. And I always feel that anybody who is carrying a sword and a shield is ready for battle.
Right.
And that's not what Wonder Woman's about. Mm-hmm. Wonder Woman is about making peace and feminism and really trying to understand and change opinions of people and expand their minds. That's been a huge influence on me and my work.
All right.
And I'm not that thrilled about the upcoming movie, but we'll see.
We'll see. Well, speaking of that feminism, I'm going to throw one more out at you. And this is the one I've never seen an episode of this ever. I'm cringing inside because they could take this show away from me.
Go ahead, Ken.
I've never seen Maud.
Oh, you have to see Maud.
I know.
You have to. Have you seen All in the Family?
I've seen some All in the Family.
Okay.
I just never... Archie Bunker just never did it for me.
Okay.
I understand the brilliance of the character conceptually,
mm-hmm.
but it's so cringy to watch it sometimes that, like, and I understand the role that Maude plays. This is the weirdest part about me. And we're not even going to talk about Mary Tyler Moore, which I've never seen an episode of Mary Tyler Moore.
That's okay. We can skip over Mary.
Okay. And I've never seen an episode of Bionic Woman, but I can win any World Series of Pop Culture and answer questions about any of these because I know everything about them.
Okay.
But I've never actually
seen an
episode. But Maude, I can tell you the abortion episode, all that stuff. I've never seen it.
I think it's very important to see that show. I really do. Maude was sort of conceived as the opposite of Archie.
Yeah.
Where Archie is the extreme conservative, Maude is the extreme liberal. And she's filled with liberal guilt. And Bea Arthur plays Maude. Rue McClanahan plays her best friend Vivian. And it's a brilliantly written and acted show that explores issues like abortion,
right.
mental health, marriage. I mean, marriage at that time. They explored homosexuality,
yeah.
All these things, and really just dug into the issues and got and found the comedy in all of it.
Wow.
And I think changed minds in that way.
See, now
it's
that
a
you...
a very important show to watch.
Now that you live in the attic of Fur Avenue, we can do, like, Maud marathons. This is
I
very
have the
exciting.
Complete series set. They just released it from Shout Factory, yes.
How many seasons? Was it a lot of seasons of Maud?
5 or 6.
Oh, it really was.
Yeah, my husband bought it as a Valentine's Day gift. And,
I got to email him and tell him where you are. I'm worried.
He's at work.
Okay, he's yeah, fine with
he's
it.
He's fine.
So you are the artistic director.
I was
the
associate
theater.
Artistic director.
Are you the associate?
Yes, I am.
That was not in my notes.
Okay.
All right. Can we give you the bump up to the artistic director? Someone will be mad at that.
Someone
who apparently lives close by.
Someone who lives very close by, a street away. I'll scream out the window.
I have seen. Here's the deal with me and you. There's actually a deal with me and you. You are the person that everyone says, A, how have you not had him on your show?
Mm-hmm.
How have you not met him? And how have you not seen his stuff?
Okay.
And I've not seen, and we're going to talk about all of these different performances that you put out there. I'm, again, more cringing. I cannot believe I have not seen any of these. And legitimately, something always comes up. It's
no,
not,
I get
you,
it.
It really is.
I understand.
Okay.
I understand.
Right. I'm being very defensive in the attic. Tell everyone about the Theater Ninja. Theater Ninjas first.
Sure. Theater Ninjas has been around since 2006. It was founded by Jeremy Paul, who is the artistic director. And we call ourselves the food truck of Cleveland Theater. We kind of find these places around Cleveland where you normally wouldn't find theater,
yeah.
and use the space to really create these out of the ordinary worlds. So you're not just entering to see a play; you are entering to be a part of the entire experience.
Okay.
So I've been associate artistic director since 2012, and performing with the company since 2010. And it's been my primary artistic home since then.
Yeah.
After the first rehearsal, I felt this. There was so much freedom in the rehearsal process, and so much was asked of us, and you really got to put a lot of your own creativity into these weird, funny, exciting, fun shows that we do, and these spaces that we create. So we've performed at 78th Street Studios, which is a giant arts complex here in Cleveland, Waterloo Arts District, where we'll be at the end of the month.
Yeah.
We've performed in Akron, and in 2013, we took our original show, The Excavation, to the Cleveland Museum of Art for 3 months. One of the curators there curated an exhibit on Pompeii.
I was there that night.
Okay. And the first time we performed, we were in the new atrium.
Yeah.
And we had 1,800 people in the audience.
I was one of them. It was my first night in Cleveland.
Oh, wow.
It was when I was interviewing for my job at Baldwin Wallace.
Okay.
I did the interview during the day. And then a friend of mine, who is an art history professor at Case Western, said, we're going to go to this Pompeii exhibit because I know the curator. And that was my first night in Cleveland.
Yeah. Okay. John Seidel
was the
curator.
I barely remember John, who then switched places with me. I moved from New England, and he moved to
New
England.
Yes, he did. Yeah. Yes, he did.
I'm trying not to take it personally. But it happened. Oh, that's right.
But yeah, we were there for 3 months. That first night was incredible.
Oh, my gosh.
And then, so we did 5 performances in the atrium at CMA over the course of 3 months. And then every Friday and Sunday, we were installed in the Pompeii exhibit, where me and other actors would portray 5 or 6 characters a day. Giving people who came through the exhibit different kind of experiences, whether they were one-on-one. One of my characters is a very eccentric artist, and his name is Erato, and he's full of joy, and he just loves to talk about things he knows nothing about. And he would sort of give tours of the space, and Ryan Lucas, who was another actor in that, he played Luigi, who gives tours of the space. He's this little Italian guy who he's hilarious. And he would give tours, and then we would do these sort of non-invasive performances where it's a shrouded character who's just reading poetry that's wrapped across their arm, and really allowing you to control your own experience. We're very much about the audience feeling good. and having control.
Isn't that a nice thing?
Yeah.
Isn't that a... All right, well, before we talk about specific projects...
Yeah,
see,
absolutely.
I have seen Theater Ninja's
you have.
Performances. I've seen that. I saw Sick, which I enjoyed
immensely. Oh, yeah, Ryan was in that.
And I thought it was one of the best posters. If you ever know anyone who designed that poster, it was brilliant.
That would be... me.
And I should ask, how does... I mean, you've been the artistic director since 11:42 a.m. this morning. How does that feel? How has that experience been for you?
Well, it feels great.
It's a resume builder.
Yeah.
For as long as you're in this attic, you are the artistic director.
Okay.
Of the Ninjas.
All right. Okay. So this is my artistic director voice.
How amazing would it be and if I just said, and now here we have, and the artistic director actually walked up.
Hello, Jeremy. Welcome.
That'd be wonderful. That'd be wonderful.
It would be great.
Well, before we talk about specific projects, let's talk more generally, as I would ask any of my guests, but
yep.
normally in my pajamas and doing other things.
Yep. I had to get dressed today to come here. Yeah. So, yeah.
What draws you to a project? What do you think is the narrative thread that kind of speaks to what gets you jazzed about a project?
Yeah, I've been doing a lot of original work lately with Ninjas, as well as in my teaching. And a lot of it has focused on identity and the performer-audience relationship, what that is. My training... I was trained in something called eccentric performance, which is all very boring, but it's about it's clown, commedia, and as well as how we relate to people, and how to make the audience feel good, and how to get them to do something that you want them to do without making them feel bad or embarrassed. So my work, especially since 2013, is focused a lot on that, specifically for me, queer identity. Using my own experiences to create either myself on stage or these characters that explore issues of sexuality and gender and hate speech and oppression and all these things and what we deal with in our day-to-day lives as a queer individual. And then how I can speak directly to the audience in that so they're not feeling like I'm preaching or...
Right.
Or that I'm talking at them. I want them to feel involved with what I'm saying, and I want them to know who I am, so maybe it can change their mind, and they can see things in a new way.
Theater can do that.
Theater can do that. Yes, it can.
I have heard that theater can do that.
Yeah.
According to my master's degree that I'm still in debt for, it can indeed do that. Let's talk specific projects. You've interacted with Alan Turing in a number of projects.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Alan Turing... has been a part of my life since late 2013 when we started to work on a project called Code Preludes, which is about ethics and mathematics and computing and how all those things tie together and how we use those things today. And Alan Turing being the father of modern computing, I started to work with Jeremy on Code Preludes, and we created this character called Turing, who was based on the life of Alan Turing, and he was cycling through his life multiple times, trying to figure out who he is and what he's doing and what is life, and asking really, really big questions. But in that show, it was a 10-minute monologue that brought the show from this fun, exciting, interesting, spacious piece in a huge basement of 78th Street Studios that totally changed the tone into this more, a little darker feel. So it was very successful, that monologue in that show. And then we developed a show that just ran 3 weeks ago, called The Turing Machine, which was a one-man piece based on the theme of I was now the Turing Machine, I thought I was Alan Turing, and find out in the show that I am not. So then it's asking, what does it take to be alive, and or to be considered a human being? Asking those big questions and using Alan Turing's own work and words as the text of the show.
Now, did you have a sense that Alan Turing would be so big in pop culture now? I mean, it's not just The Imitation Game. We actually just talked about Alan Turing on last week's show, there was a big scholarship that I think University of California, San Diego is now offering in Alan Turing's name to get more LGBT folks into STEM.
Mm-hmm.
So you certainly have the Imitation Game. Have you seen that? I just saw it the other day, the Ex Machina.
No.
Oh, Ex Machina. It's playing over on the other side of Cleveland in the Cedar Lee Theater using the Turing test. It's a thriller, and it's all about the Turing test.
Okay.
Alan Turing, big resurgence right now in the pop culture.
When we started, this code was an idea that Jeremy emailed to me shortly after I came on as associate artistic director. And Turing was, I think, the Pet Shop Boys had just created a song about him.
Oh, really?
And so that was the extent of my knowledge.
Yeah.
So when we started really delving into this, I had no idea that he was going to become this thing. And he has, and I have been honored to portray a machine who thinks he's Turing.
Yeah.
And to say the words that Alan Turing wrote himself and to talk about the love of his life, Christopher, and take the Turing test in many ways during the Turing machine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's come to mean quite a bit for you.
He has. He's really, I get very involved with the characters I play. It's very hard for me not to become involved with them and really find where they exist in me. And he's expanded my mind a lot. Especially the loss of his body and how that the chemical castration, he didn't want this, but he chose this because he didn't want to be imprisoned. He still wanted to be able to do his work, and how the hormones screwed with his head and changed him completely. He couldn't think in the same way that he was used to and do his work in the same way. And I don't think he quite ever recovered from that.
And the Queen of England pardoned him like 3 weeks ago, it feels
like. It was a couple years ago. Interesting stuff, right?
Yeah.
In a law that I think went off the books in the early 2000s, that they stopped enforcing in, I don't know, like the 90s or something. We need a scholar on this. But I know it went off the books fairly recently.
I love how I just looked around the attic for a scholar.
Is there one here?
There's nothing up here.
Is there one here?
The cat left. There's a Mr. Incredible uniform over there. There's a lot happening. Listeners, again, we're here with Ray Caspio, performer, illustrator, writer, educator, all of those things, associate artistic director. Yes. Let's talk about Tingle Tangle.
Yeah.
How have I not seen this?
I don't know.
I'm going to.
It happened right down the street from you.
I hear what you're saying.
At Guide to Culture.
And as a gay Jew in my attic right now, the guilt, I'm feeling it acutely. I'm sensitive to it. But it's coming back. It's not
it
like
is
I
coming
don't
back.
Still have an opportunity.
Right. No, it's coming back June 25th through 27th.
I will be here.
Good.
Here in Cleveland, I will be here. So now I need to take the next step and
actually go over to Waterloo.
Go there.
To the art gallery where it's going to be performed. It's going to be performed at Maria Neal Art Project.
Okay.
In the Waterloo Arts District.
Which I'm at all the time.
Great.
I'm
yes.
there all the time.
I had
the Beachland Ballroom.
Okay. I had an exhibition there of my pop culture illustrations last year. Oh, my stars. And so we're there. June 25th through 27th with this show that is about gender, sexuality, hate speech, marriage equality, specifically using my story as being a married gay man in Ohio where that marriage isn't legal right now. And it's so funny. It is hilarious because nobody wants to sit through the first show was 2 hours. This one will be like 80 minutes.
Okay.
Nobody wants to sit through all this garbage that's coming out in such a dramatic way. Nobody wants that. Using
we
comedy.
You want to be entertained.
You want to be entertained, and we're going to entertain you. I'm really excited it's coming back. It was hugely received.
I know that.
It was one of the most successful shows in Theater Ninja's almost 10-year history, aside from the excavation at CMA. We had over 400 people see it last time in this very small basement of a bookstore called Guide to Culture here in Cleveland.
Is it? Is it a monologue? It's not totally scripted.
It's scripted, and there is a lot of improvisation.
Okay.
Yeah. It's based on the Weimar cabarets from the early 1920s in Berlin. And So it's sort of a cabaret show. So there's monologues, there are songs, there are sketches, all talking about these themes that I mentioned. And so I do a lot of monologues about my experiences. We have two other actors, Ryan Lucas and Amy Schwabauer, who were in the original cast, who will be back in this one, who are going to be doing sketches, scenes. Amy has a monologue and a song, and it's just really fun and funny, and really explores how we respond to gender, sexuality, and hate speech, not just as queer people, but as people all along the spectrum of sexuality and gender.
Now, by that point, I would expect that the Supreme Court has made some sort of statement.
Yeah, funny how we planned that, right? Yeah. yeah, it's happening during Pride Month, and I'm hoping that it's a positive ruling from the Supreme Court.
Yeah,
we've already got stuff in the works if it is. We have stuff in the works if it isn't.
Do you have a gut feeling?
I don't see how they could deny it again. Right. I mean, it's got to happen.
Okay.
It's got to happen.
Okay.
That's my hope, because I would like my 9-year marriage to finally be legal in this state. It would be nice.
Now, where all did you guys get married?
Niagara Falls. Oh, we actually...
You went over in a barrel.
Did.
I love
I did,
that.
Yeah. No, I didn't want... At that time, marriage equality was not that widespread in this country. It's amazing how far we've come.
It's crazy.
In 9 years. And I did not want to get married anywhere in America. I felt if this country doesn't support who I am, then I don't want to give them my money for whatever the fee was for the marriage license. I don't want that. So we went to Canada, who had full marriage equality at that time.
Oh, so you were on the Canadian side.
The Canadian side of Niagara
Falls.
We there was a lot of bed and breakfasts there. We got married in the garden of this beautiful bed and breakfast by two guys who I believe were the first couple in Canada, first male couple in Canada to get married. They owned the bed and breakfast. Had a very small ceremony with my mom, my grandma, stepdad, Kevin's friends who came up. And it was just a small, beautiful ceremony.
We would like it to be legal here.
We would.
Yeah.
We would. I mean, we got to file our taxes last year on the federal level.
Okay.
It's
very
together.
Weird. I will say, I've said this before on the show, it's very weird living here for me. To come from Vermont, to come from New York City, where I'm from, and then live in Vermont for the past 6 years, and then move here to Ohio. And now, I mean, you said about how far we've come. I mean, 2 years ago or a year and a half ago when I moved here, Ohio wasn't in the minority of states. It was in the majority of states that did not allow marriage equality, which was still uncomfortable. But now to be in this extreme minority of, you know, 12, 13 states, it's uncomfortable.
It's very uncomfortable.
And I'm not from here.
No, right. I am. Yeah. And it's been uncomfortable ever since I was this big.
Yeah.
It's odd. In the first Tingle Tangle, there was a monologue about... how Kevin and I were in Target, and I wanted to hold his hand. Our dog was very sick at that time, and he really wanted to hold my hand in the store, and how we felt we couldn't do that because this is a store I've walked through where I've seen people with their shirts that are condemning anybody who's not Christian. And then I saw a photo of guys walking through Target with guns. You know, this was just on social media, and I'm like, what is this? Why are we doing this?
Karma.
Yeah. It's not too far from the truth. So, you know, you have that feeling that you can't do these things. And our friends were in town for the Gay Games, which were here last year.
Yeah.
And how the whole city transformed during that time period as into this really accepting, joyous place to be in. I could feel safe in downtown Cleveland holding my husband's hand with my two friends who were from Chicago, who were married, just being with them, and how odd that was that when they came here, their marriage on the state level was nullified.
Right.
It didn't exist. And our marriage never existed in this state, but how when we've been to Illinois, it does. It's strange. Yeah. Really weird. So we had a monologue about that, which is coming back in the new show in a slightly different way, talking about some new things. It's been updated. yeah, it's strange.
It's strange. It's
and
strange.
I think it's time for the strangeness to end. And I feel like the Gay Games being here showed that there is real opportunity. That minds have been changed. And not that we necessarily needed to do that to enjoy our full rights, but it's time.
Yeah. How do we feel about the Republicans coming here to Cleveland? The Republican National Convention. It's so funny for people to talk about the Gay Games, and then on the flip side, we have all the Republicans coming,
yeah,
bringing billions of dollars, maybe.
Great.
Not, but hundreds of millions of dollars to our fair city. But
great. Welcome.
They will be sponsoring Tingle Tangle.
Sure, I'm sure they will.
I'm sure they will.
It'll be a very different show. We'll be very clothed.
Now, I was only going to book you for like a 30-minute slot, which we've already exceeded. Can we keep going? Are
yeah,
you good?
Yeah,
because I think I'm going to put you on. I was going to put you on next week's show. I'm pulling back the curtain for all of our listeners, but we're going to put this on the show that's going to air tomorrow.
Swell.
We're going to make this work.
Let's go.
All right. So we're going to take a quick musical break, and we're going to come right back with Ray Caspio. All right, folks, and we are back. Well, so many other things to talk about. Still yeah. joined here in the attic of Fir Avenue, Ray Caspio. How are you doing?
Fine.
When was the last time you did radio?
3 weeks ago.
Nice.
Yeah.
Everything happened 3 weeks ago for you.
Yeah, it was
you
four Turing Maud. Machine. I watched Maud last night.
You watched Maud last night?
Yeah.
You watched Bewitched three weeks ago?
I watched Bewitched. I watched Wonder Woman yesterday.
So
I do
much.
Work.
Yeah,
I do work. It all inspires the work.
Which we should talk about. Can we talk about your, I was going to say your artistic side. This is all your artistic side. Your illustrator side.
Yeah.
I enjoy your drawings.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
They're very pop culture-y.
Yeah.
They're very cartoony.
Yeah.
They sell for millions.
I wish.
Emotionally, they sell
emotionally,
for millions.
Emotionally, yeah. I discovered that having the exhibit last year. And the responses that people had when this... A lot of my work, it starts off on paper, and then it becomes digital through the coloring and the inking. So I don't often get to see my work other than in digital form.
Oh.
So to have it... to have so much of it printed out, hung in a gallery, and to watch people's reactions when they came in and the joy it brought to them, I mean, it was... so rewarding to know it was having this kind of effect on people. And we talk about Uncle Arthur from Bewitched
yeah.
for a half an hour.
He was gay.
He was gay.
He was very gay.
You know, for a long time, he was like our only gay role model.
Yes.
We had Uncle Arthur and we had Richard Simmons.
Do you know, I almost said, but we also had the center square, but that was also Uncle Arthur.
That was also, and then later Joan Rivers.
And then
also
later, yes, it was.
Gay-ish.
And then after that. Our guest for our 300th episode a few months ago, Jim J. Bullock, was the center square little bit.
Yeah.
See, I love that.
Not one day at a time. What was the show?
Oh, I will draw this out.
The guy from Mary Tyler Moore, Ted Knight, was in it.
Because I know the answer.
It's not one day.
Well, let's do this. We can do a little, you know, act
too close for comfort.
Oh, I was going to move myself closer to you and we were going to act it out. No, Ken, you are too close for comfort here in this attic. Now, everyone can stroll on over. They can go to your website, raycastio.com, mm-hmm. which we will link to.
Yeah, please do.
And people can buy prints.
You can buy prints of the work there. I have some as well that you can contact me directly, some limited edition stuff. I just did a new Linda Carter's Wonder Woman yesterday.
What would you say is the ratio of female subjects to male subjects? I actually know the answer. Yeah. I've done the math.
Yeah, I think I've done 2 male subjects and about 67 female.
The correct answer is 68, but you were very close. Very, very close. Now, but I like talking about the outliers. Let's talk about the males. Charlie
mm-hmm.
Chaplin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why Charlie Chaplin?
The joy in his work. And also he used his own life to really explore who he was and found the humor in it. Just brilliant, 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 brilliant comedy. And how so one look could say so much. The scene at the end of City Lights when he hands the woman who he paid for her surgery so she could get her vision restored. And she finally realizes that this tramp character was the guy who worked so hard to be able to pay for it, for her surgery. And he hands her a flower and his face. Oh, it's doing things to me right now. Yeah.
Well, you're the first person to ever get emotional in this attic.
Yeah, I can't believe I'm getting emotional over it. I don't know. Things have very visceral effects on
that's, me. That, I think, makes for a good actor. I'm
yeah.
told.
Well, I should hope.
I would hope.
I should hope. It's especially when I studied clowning and just seeing the little takes he takes to the audience in his films, knowing that they're there, saying, I know, and then keeps going with the scene. Brilliant. Beautiful. 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 Beautiful work.
Now, the other subject, I feel like I'm going to get the dollar amount wrong because I can't quite remember. Was he the $6 million man? It was $6 million, right?
Yeah.
Because I started thinking $50,000, but I don't know. Then it was the $25,000 yeah.
Inflation.
Pyramid. I was getting
20,
all.
Oh.
That was
I would
show.
Love to play the $25,000 right. pyramid right now.
I feel like you were a game show aficionado as well.
That password, I get very competitive in password.
Really?
I hate when people don't know how to play it. I get very competitive in games.
You haven't hit my main one yet, though. My one
Which
game
one?
Show, that is.
Which one?
I feel like it led to my divorce. Maybe other things, too, but Match Game?
Oh, God, yeah.
24/7,
yeah.
I could watch Match Game. Summers
Brett
and
Summers,
Charles
Nelson Reilly. Yeah.
And the other one just died, too, didn't he? Did Richard Dawson, is he still alive? I'm going to feel really bad if Richard Dawson is still alive.
Richard Dawson is alive or dead.
Yes.
One of the two.
From Family Feud.
From Family Feud, yeah.
Match Game. I appreciate. Now, what's your association with the RuPaul's Drag Race?
I love it.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel about
it? I thought this season stunk.
Yeah.
I really did. I don't know why. It felt very different. I didn't like it either.
I actually stopped watching with 3 episodes left. I was just like, eh.
It seemed very mean in the beginning.
It seemed very mean.
And I wasn't into that. It was interesting. We watched the whole thing. I watch very few modern TV shows. That's one of them. My husband and I watched the whole thing. And it was nice to see the evolution of these queens by the end of the run. But, yeah.
I don't know.
I think
piece.
Yes. That being said, Bianca Del Rio is my favorite.
Yeah. Now, did you see her when she was here in Cleveland? How was that? I didn't go to
Hilarious.
It was.
Hilarious. Yeah. We had such a good time. It was a great release.
Not going.
Yeah. It was just loads of fun.
All right.
Loads of fun. Yeah, we had a really good time.
It's changed a lot. You know, we've had a lot of the drag racers on the show in the past 6-7 years, and it used to be about the craft. And I love talking about the craft. And as someone who's from New York City and has just been immersed in that, and you know, here, it's so different here in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
Here in New York City, let me just say that if a drag queen is performing
mm-hmm.
and you take out your cell phone and make a call and they can see you, they will come down off the stage and have an exchange.
Oh, yeah. I did that in Tingle Tangle with somebody.
There you go.
We were in a very small space, and this woman was on her phone through the whole show. And finally, I was playing this old man character, Uncle Toots, who's very acerbic and does not put up with anything, and he just went right after her.
Yeah.
I can't stand that.
And here in
Cleveland, it's disrespectful.
I've been to the drag bingo a number of times, and it's just not like that. It's not that same respect. And we have a club here for our listeners who have not been to Cleveland. We had a club called Bounce. We apparently, again, will have a club called Bounce because they're reopening. And
oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they're reopening during Pride.
Oh, great.
In a few weeks. And it was just, it was such an interesting kind of interplay on drag, where they would have a ton of drag racers there at Bounce. Mm-hmm. And last year they had Sherry Vine, who is a New York City drag queen. She's been on our show a bunch of times, and she does original YouTube parodies.
Okay.
She really was Bianca Del Rio's drag mother, you know, like she's old school drag. And she performs here at Bounce, and they asked me to introduce her, and it was amazing. Mm-hmm. And I loved it, and mm-hmm. I wore my little bow tie, and I got up there, and I introduced Sherry Vine.
Yeah.
I've known her for so many years, and they hated her here. They thought she was terrible because she wasn't this kind of fishy woman-looking drag queen who was lip-syncing to a song that they knew.
Yeah, I'm not interested in that. I'm not interested in seeing lip-syncs to new stuff.
Right.
I would rather see the classics and these things
she
reinvented.
Original
songs material
that were
too, yeah.
Pretty, you know, nothing that we can do on our show.
Okay.
She has asked me any number of times, can you please play one of my songs? No, Sherry Vine, I can't play any of. We're on, you know, 30 stations across the country. I would be down to two if we played even one of her songs on here. So it's just very interesting to see the appreciation for different types of drag
and different tastes.
I fear that I'm happy with Bianca Del Rio and the palpable appreciation there.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of feel like that's a bit of an outlier for what we're appreciating these days mass market-wise with drag.
I feel like mass market, just overall in culture, we're just appreciating somebody who can look beautiful.
Yeah.
And that's boring.
But Bounce is coming back. We're getting one of our gay clubs back just in time for Pride, and exciting things here in Pride.
Yeah. Tell me what's going on.
Belinda Carlisle will be our headliner.
Great. No, great. I know who she is.
You don't feel overwhelmed by Belinda Carlisle. I'm excited about
I have
about
to tell
Belinda.
A secret. I've not been to Pride in a few years.
It's not my thing.
Yeah, it was when I was younger. Yeah, I don't quite know why.
I never went to New York City Pride. I lived in New York City my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
I never once went to New York City Pride.
Okay.
I went to the Halloween Parade, which is basically gay pride during Halloween. I think I've told this story on the show, but not for years. But some guy fell on me, lost his balance, and I couldn't get out from underneath because his costume was so bulky. And someone took a picture of it, and it was on the front page of the Village Voice the next day. He was dressed as a feminine hygiene product. And
okay.
That was my experience with the Halloween Parade, and I never went to Pride, and I never went back to the Halloween Parade.
That might change opinions.
It's my story.
Yeah.
You can get that into Tingle Tangle any way you
All
want.
All right, sure. We'll have you come up when you're there, and you can tell that story.
I really don't want to. so now you have taught people how can we give better monologues.
I recently taught a class at the Cleveland Museum of Art called The Art of Storytelling. That was I had a writing teacher with me, Laura Malacker. Who helped craft what it was is the first day people came in, we went into the art galleries for 45 minutes. They did free writes on how the art inspired them and what it brought out in them and just different things they were hearing and seeing. And then over a course of 4 weeks, we crafted that into a monologue. And then I worked with Laura for the first 2 weeks, and then for weeks 3 and 4, we focused strictly on performing and how to relate to the audience and how to just simply get up and be yourself on a stage and do these things and say these personal stories about how art has impacted your life. And then I teach workshops in creative expression. I teach those with Theater Ninjas as well.
What's the mistake that everyone's making?
Pretending to be something they're not.
Look at that.
And I've made the mistake quite a bit.
Yeah.
And that's why I can see it right away. Trying to perform for the room rather than in this type of art form, just being who you are, because that's what people will respond to. And that's how you get people to see who you are as a human. The moment you start lying to an audience, they will know. And so, yeah. And it's tough to be yourself on a stage. And, yeah, Tingle Tangle last year was a huge part of that development. Like, I've been working on it for a few years. And this next show will probably be even more personal. Because it's the personal stuff that can really impact the world.
Let's talk about the bookends of getting up there and doing it. What do you need to get into that space before you get on stage?
Me?
Yeah.
I need a routine. That kind of evolves with each show, that is individual to each show. I need to be able to really focus and concentrate on what's about to or on going on stage. I think routine is the biggest part of that for me. To know that this half hour before or this hour before the show, these things will happen. Mm-hmm. I will do these exercises at this time.
Is this like no red M&Ms? What kind of rider are we talking about here?
It's more about physical and vocal warm-ups and stuff like that. And
only with Fanta. Tingle Tangle. I didn't know if there was like some rider.
Water.
Water.
Knowing that this costume piece is in this, I'm really making myself sound like a loon, but knowing that this costume piece is in this place.
He's not going to divorce you for this. I'm not worried.
No.
He knows these things already.
Oh, my husband. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, God. He knows a lot more than a lot of people. I would hope he would. But yeah, it's more about physical warm-ups, vocal warm-ups, with Tingle Tangle specifically, improv exercises, to just make sure that I'm in the right headspace.
Sure.
So when I get on stage, giving all of that away, so anything can happen. So I'm prepared for whatever the audience is giving me. I'm prepared for how the performance is going to be different tonight based on who's in the audience, my energy, the energy of the space, just in general when you walk in, just to be able to be open to that and to be able to take that all into account so I can be fully present in that time that I'm on stage and never leave that stage or that moment that I'm in.
We got before, we got your time on stage. You've now had an extremely, say, emotional, impactful performance, mm-hmm. and it was clear that you gelled with the audience and they gelled with you, and you mm-hmm. got yourself out there and you put yourself out there. Mm-hmm. What are you like when you walk off stage? Are you one of those, can you let it go? Do you think back and say, I could have done that differently?
Oh, yeah, everybody does that. Lately, I've really been able to recognize that how I feel, is as long as I feel good about what I did on stage, that's good.
Okay.
Yeah, or as long as I feel that I fulfilled the story and the script and what I set out to do, then we're fine. On a great night, though, but you can feel the energy. And you can feel when things are really killing or hitting. I like to go eat afterward, and because I'm still, you know, a little jazzed up from the show, and it's a hard feeling to let go of sometimes, because you know you're going to go home and go to sleep,
right?
and it's going to be quiet.
And there won't be an audience there.
And there won't be an audience. But then there are other times where I'm like, okay, I've done all I can. I really need my own peace right now.
Right.
And I need to go home and, like, decompress. And I'm a big homebody, too.
Yeah.
So it's rare where I really want to go out after a show and do something. Or, it depends. It really depends on how the show was, how I felt about the show and how I'm feeling, if I'm still feeling in performer mode. But, yeah, I noticed with Turing Machine, things were starting to change where... We're getting very deep now.
That's what we do here in the last quarter of the show.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. I noticed that things were starting to change in just the way I perform. There was a lot more relaxation to it.
Nice.
From the moment I walked out. A lot less anxiety, which was wonderful. I remember the first show, I'm used to like this nervous feeling in my stomach. And the first show, I'm like, this nervous feeling isn't here. What is going to happen? What's going on? How do I get this nervous feeling? And I'm like, nope, just remember, it'll be okay. Everything will be fine. And it was. As long as you're there with the crowd, and relating to them and talking to them. It'll be fine.
Yeah. Because they can sense that.
They can sense
they
it.
Can sense yeah. That. Speaking of, as we come to the close, talk to me about one of those interactions that you've had after the show, either... You know, someone emailed you, or I feel like someone probably approached you. And
yeah, after we did some previews of Tingle Tangle while in the early development stages in the fall of 2013, and where I just did two songs and a monologue. It was just a 15-minute thing after one of the Theater Ninjas shows, and we were just testing material. And one of the shows is one of the songs is Charles Aznavour's "What Makes a Man a Man." And it's about a female impersonator who is closeted at home, lives with his mother, feels freedom in the bars at night when he's doing his performance, and then goes out with friends who he doesn't really like, and then comes back home and talks about this love that escaped him, mm-hmm. this guy who left, and how he just really wants that love and how he's feeling awful about himself and 'cause he feels like he's a victim of time and society and stuff. It's a beautiful song written in the 60s and still very relevant today. And I'm still doing it in this next incarnation of Tingle Tangle. And because I talk a lot to the audience, I was talking to this guy who looked, I don't want to stereotype, but I'm going to. He looked like that guy you would expect to see watching football on a Sunday, middle-aged man, probably a father. I was just sensing from him that he was a little uncomfortable with the material that was mm-hmm. happening, mm-hmm. But still there and still willing to listen. So I gave a lot of the song to him, specifically to him, just so he could understand this feeling and this person. And he came up to me after the show and shook my hand and said, I want to make sure I get this right. He said, I don't know how to express what I'm feeling right now, but what you said to me, or what you said and did during that performance, really made me rethink a lot of the things that I have said and done in my life.
Look at that.
And I just want to thank you for that. And what do you say to that?
What do you, no, actually, I mean, what did you say to that?
I'm just like, thank you so much. You know, I'm glad it had such an impact on you. And that was the end of that interaction. And that is something where when you're doing this type of work, that's what you're looking for.
Right.
You're looking for that kind of material that can really connect with people.
Right.
And have such a strong effect on their beliefs or make them rethink saying a slur at somebody or how they thought of someone because they're actually seeing that person in person, naked to them for the first time. And realizing that this is another human being and what I said has consequences to people.
It's unbelievable. And now you guys have tea every Tuesday.
We have tea every Tuesday. He comes over. he brings cookies. And we pet my dogs.
Yeah.
And we have a
not
really...
Not even a metaphor.
I
love it. He bought every B. Arthur print that you have ever made.
He bought every B. Arthur print I've made. He commissions me constantly.
Yes.
I don't even know why I'm working anymore. I could just stay home and draw all day and think about the next performance.
I can't believe I'm doing this new series on MacGyver, but that's what he's paying for.
I've never seen an episode of that.
Come on.
No.
Okay, I haven't either, but that's okay. How bad would that be? I've never seen Maude or Mary Tyler Moore, but I've seen MacGyver, but I haven't. It's okay.
We need to talk.
I know.
We need to talk off mic in this attic.
As if there's a thing as off mic on this show. All right. So here's all the things happening. Everybody needs to stroll on over to raycaspio.com.
Yes.
And they can learn all about you there. You had a wonderful write-up in Cleveland Scene magazine last year. The Thespian.
The Thespian of Cleveland.
Oh, your mom loved that.
She loved that. I loved that. It came on a day, I found out about it on a day that I was feeling just really bad.
Yeah.
And I got the email that said, hey, would you be interested and willing to do this interview about this? I'm like, oh my God. I started crying.
You said, no, like, the press, I just
no, I just
couldn't.
I just can't. Please, I'm so, please.
I am not ready
get
for
away.
My close-up. Yeah.
That was a huge honor.
I loved that.
That title is about to be taken away.
What do you mean?
Because 2015 is here now, and it'll be new, interesting people in Cleveland.
I thought they retired it for you.
They should have. They should have retired it for a lot of people. A lot of wonderful people were recognized in Cleveland. R.A. Washington, who runs Guide to Culture, where we did Tingle Tangle, Phyllis Harris, who runs
yes,
the LGBT Center.
She was on our first episode that when we
was
were
she?
Here in Cleveland.
Great,
oh, yeah.
yeah. A lot of wonderful people were recognized for that, and I was honored to be included amongst all these great people. And
the pride
the
of
work.
Parma.
No? All right.
No? Is that... I want that to catch on.
The pride of... All right, sure, I accept that.
Yay!
I accept, sure.
Update the website. We can. I got Wi-Fi
all right,
up here.
All right, I'm going to go.
Update the website
yeah,
from
yeah.
here.
Go to raycastview.com. Please go to theaterninjas.com to find out what Theater Ninjas is up to and all our wonderful
things.
I
enjoyed Sick. I saw that of theirs.
I did some Tingle Tangle after Sick, too, one weekend.
Nope, not the one that I did. Not the one I went to.
Sick was a good show.
I feel like I'm putting in effort to avoid you, but that can't possibly be
not
true.
Anymore. Not anymore. I know where you live now.
He's blocking the driveway, folks. I can't get out.
I'm going to pull up to your house and say, let's go, Ken. I have to go do my routine, my pre-show routine. Come on, you're part
times.
Of it.
I'll warm up the audience.
You can warm up the audience.
I
all right,
it.
Great.
I love it. All right, so people are going to go there. Tingle Tangle, tell everybody again. It's coming up.
June 25th through 27th. We are doing performances the 25th and 26th, which is the full show at 8 p.m. Please go to theaterninjas.com for tickets. And then we will also be at Waterloo Arts Fest on the 27th, which is also Pride Day. So we will be doing selections from Tingle Tangle at 2 p.m. and 5 p.m. As well on Waterloo Arts
it's
Day.
It's a performance space there?
Will be the first performance they've had in there.
Oh, look at that.
Just as, yeah.
Is it the record store? I don't even know where anything
Maria
is
Neal
there.
Art Project is an art gallery.
Okay.
Near the Beachland Ballroom, so it's like right around the corner from
is
the Beachland, behind
all the
Star
trans Arts.
That's Waterloo Arts Gallery.
I'm just gonna go
where
to
we've also done
tell
a show.
Me to go. Okay.
But go to 15813 Waterloo Road.
That's what I was waiting
behind
for.
Star Pop.
Okay,
and it's a small gallery, and seating is extremely limited on this show. So please get your tickets in advance at theaterninjas.com. There's a link right on the nav bar. I guess is
we'll
what we call
that. Yeah.
For tickets. And they're $10 to $15. So you're getting a great deal. You're getting a great show.
What it's differentiates the 10 from the 15?
10 is for ages 18 to 25 and 65 plus. 15 is general admission. And these tickets are discounted from our usual rates.
Okay.
Because we want people to be able to come and see this show, and we want to make sure that it's accessible. For anybody who wants to see it and be a part of this experience.
So what I hear you saying is I just barely missed that 25-year-old cutoff.
Yeah, we both did.
It's good times. It's good times. All right, so everybody's going to buy tickets to that. You're totally going to come do this show again.
I want to.
We could talk about pop culture
Let's
stuff.
Let's do it.
All right.
Let's
so
do
I'm
it.
I'm always looking for people to come here up to the attic. It's not always as hot as it is right now.
I'm not hot. I've been in a lot hotter places.
Metaphors all around.
Yeah.
Now, I will let you do what only a few people before you have
what
done.
Am I gonna do?
You are going to close the show for
With
us.
What?
I'm going to give you your line. This
oh, okay.
is easy.
Okay.
The only two words that you need to know are so gay, and you will know when to say them.
Okay.
All right. You're not nervous. You're all
actually,
bro.
I am nervous right now. Now you've made me nervous. No, I'm not nervous.
Yes, no, it's the future of our show rests on this. So, folks, you guys, you know what you need to do. You need to get out there. You need to use your voice the way you know how to use it to make a difference for your LGBT and ally brothers and sisters.
That's right. Tell your story.
Tell your story. You got to get up there and do it.
Yes.
And it doesn't mean you're getting up there on stage. You can do it during a meal.
You can do it during a meal. You can do it during a walk down the street.
Look at that.
I've done it in the car with my mother. I've told you that's where I came, after I came out. That's where we chatted about that.
You can show up in people's attics.
You can
I recommend
show up in an
calling
attic?
First.
Call? Yeah, yes. I did call. I did call.
But yeah, no, block their driveway. Whatever you guys need to do to get your story out there. And while you're out there telling your story, while you're out there making a difference, please remember, why be gay when you can be...
So gay!